Let me get amplified. This morning, if you'd look with me at Ephesians chapter 3 and find verse 14. This morning, as those of you have came in during our singing and you say, what in the world's going on? I know this church, and this church doesn't always get started exactly on time, and nor does it end on time. And what has God done in this revival this week, you know? But I am thankful to know this morning that I serve a God that is not able to do all beyond my understanding and my comprehension, but He is able to do like He did with the disciples that day when they were on the stormy seas and the winds were blowing, and He would just spoke a word unto them, and they obeyed Him. And the disciples stood there in awe and wonder, saying, what manner of a man is this that even the sea and the winds obey Him? And that's the kind of God that we serve, and the kind of God that is here today in our presence. And I am so thankful to know today that we are here together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So this week has been a wonderful week of revival. I am so thankful to God and what He has been able to do through our singing and giving and our preaching this past week. We thank the Lord for those of you who were able to be here. I do invite you to try your best to get a hold of these CDs that we've run off, that Brother Mike's run off for you, to please, even if you were here, I believe they would prove to be very valuable in the days to come, to have a copy of those. And those are to you at this present time at no charge, so feel free to take one of those. We set it up on a first-come, first-served basis right now as we're feeling our way through our tapes and CD ministry. This morning, we may not have water in this church, but the Bible tells us that we have a source of everlasting water, the life that flows forever. And today, if you're a Christian, you have that water of life in your soul. So why do we need this physical water that comes up from the ground? Amen? He told the lady at the well, He said, you can drink that water and you'll be thirsty again. He said, but if you drink the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. So today, that's the kind of water I trust we're on this morning. And we're looking to God, even though I know we still have physical needs, and that's still a factor. We won't be here no longer. I think that the Lord really wants us to be okay. So we're thankful you've been able to come in and adjust, and now you're settled, and everyone's ready to worship God. But this morning, before we get into our message, Brother Chris Fanning called my house last night. As most of you know, that's our former pastor. And they're doing home missionary work in Prescott Valley, Arizona. And I had the opportunity, of course, to go out there and do the first revival for them. But he called last night with a special need, and I want to address that this morning before we go any further in God's Word. His daughter, Rachel, which is the youngest of the three, as you know, was the best of my knowledge, okay, I'll put it together. The main thing is what we need to do after I tell you the story, not so much the story, but best way I know it, she was cleaning a fish aquarium, and the glass broke, and it went into her leg, around her ankle. And they have done, this has been about a month ago, and they've done two surgeries already on her, in that area there where she cut her foot. And they did, you know, a couple procedures there at Prescott Valley, and it just hadn't worked out to where the fever, the infection, it still remains. So they moved her over to the Children's Hospital in Phoenix, and that's where she is at the present moment. Well, they already know, due to the last couple of surgeries, that they know they will. It is inevitable at this point. They will have to take out some bone, ligament, the part that has been infected. It's ruined. All right? Very serious. And they believe at this point it will take an act of God for her to keep her foot. Okay? So that is very serious. And all of you know little Rachel around here to church and riding that bicycle 90 miles an hour. She's tough, has no fear. But this morning I believe that we as a church need to pray for that little girl. And that's what I want to do before we go any further. So I want that prayer to be nothing more than but for her. And listen to me, prayer warriors, you know who you are. I want you to spend some time on your knees for this little girl because she needs your prayer. But I want all of us this morning as believers in God to pray for this little girl. If it was your little girl that was in that predicament, the only thing you would want this church to do right now in this very hour is pray for her. So that's why we're supposed to love people as we love ourselves. Treat our neighbors as we want to be treated. So right now, that's the time where that should become a part of our heart. And know that our God is a big enough God that we can pray here in Effingham, South Carolina. And that our Jesus, at the right hand of the throne of God, is the intercessor. And that prayer will make its way to God. And God will bless and minister as He sees fit all the way 2,300 miles from here. And I thank God to those today that we can do that. That we don't have to be sorrowful. We don't have to hang our heads. But we say, God, we know You can do it. So this morning, that's what we want to do. We want to have a prayer for her. Her name is Rachel Fanning. She's in the Children's Hospital in Phoenix. And we're going to pray that the good Lord will touch her in her bed this morning as we speak. And that God will help her. And just pray His will be done. And we understand some things are going to have to be done, but let's pray the Lord that she don't have to lose her foot. All right? So let's pray very specifically. So as we go, Lord, in prayer this morning, will You bow Your souls with me and let's pray for this little girl. Father, today we know that You are an almighty, awesome God that is able to deliver and take care of any need that we have in our lives. Father, we ask You this morning, Lord, from this very sanctuary that You've allowed us to come and be a part of this morning, to be able to worship You and come into Thy presence. God, we just ask You this morning, Lord, in a special way, that there's a little girl, oh God, and her name is Rachel Fanning, and Lord, as she is there in a bed in that hospital there, Lord, in Phoenix, Arizona, God, I pray this morning that she would just have a touch of God this morning. God, that Your mighty and merciful hand, with all of Your sovereignty, would just touch her, minister unto her, Lord, and just heal her needs. And God, we pray today, oh God, that through this, not only will this little girl be healed, but God, that You will receive the glory that You so much deserve. That, Lord, that doctors and nurses and the medicines, Lord, that You've allowed us to have. And God, we're thankful. But God, sometimes we need a reminder that You are God. And Lord, that nothing else will take the place of that. So, Father, I pray this morning, not only will she be healed, but above that issue, God, that You will receive the honor and the glory. And Lord, they will see the marvelous, miraculous hand of God at work. And Father, we ask this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank You for praying for her and the comfort that it will give him to know that You are not only praying this morning, but You'll be praying in the days to come. And we'll update you as we know. This morning, the title of this sermon, The Inner Man Prayer. The inner man. Did you know this morning that we all have an inner man? Now, some of us look around and say, I knew old so-and-so had a split personality. I knew old so-and-so had a different side to them. But this morning, to know that we all have an inner man, and that is what I want you to focus on for the next little while, is that you focus on, zero in, get your sights on your scope, zeroed in on the inner man. Because it is essential this morning. And in the last several weeks, we have been preaching and studying and expounding on what it means to become a disciple and what it means to be a disciple. And this morning, as we continue in this study, I want us to look at not only where we were a couple of weeks ago, in that our responsibility as disciples to the new converts is to help these babes in Christ along the way. Help them to walk and talk and take them under our wing and let them know that we love them, we support them, and we help show them how to live, not only tell them how to live, but show them how to live. But this morning, I want the new converts to look at the other side. That it is not just the responsibility of those who have been believers before you, and have grown into the meat of the Word, but it is your responsibility as well, my responsibility as a believer to God, that we must not just put our full dependency on man, but in God and in our abilities that He has given us. That is what I want us to focus on this morning. Now, we have several new converts in this church. And I'm thankful to know, and it's in our bulletin, that not only after our homecoming, which is the 12th, which is next Sunday, but the Sunday following, which is October the 19th, that Sunday morning at 9:30, we will be beginning our new convert course. And not only our new convert course, but also our college and career course. So we were thankful for that and thankful for what God is doing in our midst. But today, this will be a good basis, a good foundation for our new believers. Not only those who have been recently saved, but those who have been saved for some time, and by the indications and by the lifestyle that we live, we have never taken hold to what God has for the inner man. There are those that have been saved for 3 years, if you want to use that for an example, and are not any much further than they were the week or two after they got saved. So therefore, these ones who have been not only newly converted, but those who have been converted to the family of God and whom have not grown. That is who I'm speaking to this morning. Now listen to me this morning. The inner man prayer. I want you to look with me now at Ephesians 3 and verse 14 this morning. Do you realize this morning that this prayer from 14 to 21 is considered, arguably by some, the second most potent, powerful prayer in the Word of God? Other than the model prayer that we find from the Lord Jesus Christ, this prayer of Paul is considered to be the second most valuable, important prayer in the Word of God. So this morning, look with me at this prayer in verse 14. Paul is praying, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened and might by His Spirit in the inner man." Make a note there, inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is," now watch this, note this verse, "the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height." All right? Look at verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now this morning, I want to share with you 6 requests in this prayer. You know, when we pray, we can be very needful people, can't we? And we've mentioned it before, but when we have some desperate needs, we do some desperate praying. And this morning, you can believe, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me using him as an example, but Preacher Chris this morning is praying some overtime this morning for his daughter. And the same would be for you and I. If we're in similar-like conditions, and we would do the same thing. And I think that's only normal. That doesn't mean that we're bad, awful people. It's just what we do. But I want to share with you 6 requests in here that the Apostle Paul has for the prayer of those at Ephesus, the Ephesians here. And I want you to know this morning, new converts, those who have recently given your heart to the Lord, those who have given your heart to the Lord, and you feel as though when you run a parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ, or even some of His believers, you don't feel like you have grown adequately. And you know that something is missing. This prayer is for you. This prayer is for a believer. This prayer is not for a sinner. This prayer is for one who believes in God and who is looking forward to what He has to offer to them. Now that being said, let me share with you the 6 of them, all right? Because the last 2 are going to be just generally run into the first four, and I won't expound on the last two, but I want to share the six of them with you. Number one, you find these from verses 16 through 19, and I'm going to share with you the first one, and then we'll look at them. Strength. Number one, you must pray for strength. Number two, you must pray for an indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have to pray that Christ indwells within you. Now, that's a little tricky in a minute, but I'm going to share some things with you there, the intentions of that request of Paul. Number three, you must pray that God will keep you rooted and grounded in His love. That's the third request. The fourth request is that God will help you be able to understand and comprehend His Word and who He is. You must pray for that. A lot of you, we don't read the Bible and do things because we don't understand it. We don't go through the act of Christianity and follow through because we can't comprehend it. We must pray that God will enlighten us, help us be able to understand His Word and His will for us. Now, number five, we must look at the fifth request, to know the love of Christ. Not only do we need to be able to understand, not only do we need to be able to love, but in return, God, help me be able to know the love of Christ. I believe it is essential. You cannot love like God unless you know the love of God. Now the sixth one, for the fullness of God. The sixth request and final request that Paul has in this prayer is that we pray for the fullness of God to be within us. The fullness. That we are full of Him. Will you pray with me just for a moment? Father, it's an awesome and wonderful privilege to be able to be Your man this morning, to be a vessel in which You use to preach through. And God, I am humbled for that. God, I know that I am not worthy to be one of Yours, but God, I thank You this morning that You didn't let people like us stay by the wayside. But God, You said, come with me, follow me. I can make disciples out of you and use you for my glory. And God, this morning, thank You for the opportunity to be one of Your disciples, to be one of Your preachers. And God, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I ask You. Amen. Look with me now, if you will, at the very first one that we find in verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, and I wanted you to make a note here, if you would, a mental note or one there in your Bible, that He would grant you, look who the giver is, according to the riches of His glory. Now, to know this morning that we can pray to God, number one, is just overwhelming. To know when you have to know the Old Testament history or a little bit about it, to know that we have access to God from wherever you are. To me, that just, I can't fathom that. It just blows my mind. But you have to know where the Word of God has come from and where it is today to be able to really appreciate that. You can't really appreciate that by me just telling you. You have to know the history. That's why it's important to know not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. It is all very important, equally important. But I see here where, you know, we need to pray here that we will be strengthened with what? With His might. To know this morning that we as human beings can be strengthened with the might of God. Wow. Whoa, man, that's wonderful to know that I can be empowered and being able to do things because of the strength of God. That recognizes that it is not the strength of us that gets things done. This church is growing, isn't it? It's really kind of busting at the seams. But it's not by the might of one man or one church body. It's by the might of God that it's happening. Give Him the honor and the glory that He so much deserves. He is the one. But I see here, but it is commendable that you give Him a vessel and a place in which to use. Because without that, you have to have the teamwork. So it's very commendable on your part that you surrender all unto God. But we see here where we need to be strengthened. I want to share with you here, you've heard the expression before from me, from this pulpit, that we need to be strengthened and have a tough hide but a tender heart. I've learned you need that in the ministry. You got to let those fiery darts, you know, that armor of God we wear, if those fiery darts come and hit your armor, you just got to be able to keep walking through, keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that, he's not talking about having a tough hide here. You, for one, you got to separate just for a moment. All we see in the mirror is this outer man. A lot of what we're concerned about when we're combing our hair or brushing our teeth or going to the doctor is our outer man. It may be said this morning that many times we not intentionally put our emphasis on the outer man, but it is what we do because it's normal and natural and what we get accustomed to because it is what we can see. So therefore, we neglect or even lose sight of and forget that inner man that is within this vessel. That is why more people are cutting grass this morning while we're having church. That is why more people are washing their cars this morning while we're having church. That's why a lot of people are at the ball game today instead of being in church. That's why a lot of people this morning are out playing maybe just the front nine or the back nine of golf this morning. Because there is more interest in the outer man instead of the inner man. The proof is in the pudding. And that is why. But that is easy to do. Please understand, it does not necessarily mean that you are some vile, corrupt individual. It just means that you are a human being and it's normal to get caught up in that. In the morning time, what do? Think about it. You got to make sure every hair is in place pretty close. Now, some of you don't care, and I need to talk to you about that on a different service. But I'm just saying, you need to make sure that your hair is in place and that you brush your teeth. And I need to talk to some of you about that too. But we'll talk about that on another service. But it is imperative that we take care of the outer being, isn't it? Because if the outer shell does not put off a good appearance, he tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. What is he talking about, the outer man? Because the outer man impacts the inner man. But the only way that the outer man can be changed is for the inner man to be changed. We're changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. So we must pray that God's might will give us the strength through the Spirit of God within our inner man. And it will take care of the outer man. We have got to reverse our way of thinking in order for this plan to work. Number two, verse 17. Christ may dwell in your hearts, the Bible says. You see here where it says that if the Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. Now, if you don't have faith this morning or you have issues in believing the whole Word of God, you can forget being a successful believer. To be a believer means that you believe every aspect of this. Hey, there's things in this Bible I cannot explain to you. I'll be the first to tell you. But I'll tell you right now, I believe it because God said it. That seals it. That's all I got to hear. I believe everything. Now you see here where it says that we must pray for Him to be in our indwelled in us. I'll give you an example for a minute. How many of us have ever played King on the Mountain? King of the Mountain. Raise your hand. Okay, very good. Now, you know what we used to do? We just go normally to a ditch bank. Because where they dug the ditch, you'd have your mountain. And when you got to that mountain, the bad thing is you didn't want to be pushed off on one of those sides. It was a much greater fall to go down to the ditch, and then you've got cattails and briars and those kind of things. But the other side, normally you might find some pine straw of that sort. Well, you play King of the Mountain. Well, you know the object is that the last one standing. I mean to say last man standing. But hey, we played with some girls that were battered at us, you know. So what I'm saying is the last individual standing on the mountain would be the King of the Mountain. So we go up there and we push and we shove and we bite and we spit and we just do whatever we had to do to be the last one standing on the top of the hill. That means you were champion, victorious. You know, you were the one. But here's the thing. We do not understand sometimes just how much we ask God to come into our heart
and rule and reign our heart. To be king.
Isn't Jesus the king? Isn't he the king?
And we ask him to come in and rule and reign our hearts, but yet little do we know we're still playing those childish games with the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to push him off the top of the mountain and be king of our hearts instead of allowing him to rule and reign completely.
The same very thing happens within our hearts.
So we need to pray that Christ will indwell in our hearts, understanding that Paul is not saying that Christ is not already there. Because if you are a believer, he is already indwelling in your heart. So it's not like a sinner's prayer to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. He's already there. And that is where we need to be conscious of this morning. Be aware that no matter where you are or what you're doing, the Lord Jesus Christ indwells within your heart if you are a believer this morning. And he should have full reign of your heart, full rule of your heart, and he, what he says, should go, and we should not contest it. We should allow him to reign and rule our heart. And stop playing king of the mountain with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him stand and take his place in your mountain so that everything in the valley will be well. It is until that time comes, until that petition or that request is rendered unto the ears of God. He won't hearken to it. He won't listen because you're not even requesting it. And then he knows your heart if that's what you truly mean. God is not one to play games. If you're serious about that, and if you're willing to let him have that dwelling place, that permanent residence in your heart, he'll do it. But you have to go down off the top and let him stand in the only place he'll stand. He doesn't play second fiddle to no one. He's a jealous God. And from what he's done, he should not take second place to anyone, nor should he take second place to you and I. Thirdly, being rooted and grounded in love. If you'll look with me now at verse 17, the second part. Being rooted and grounded in love. I want to make an observation for a moment. The love that he wants us to pray for here is the same very love. I believe there's different kinds of love. I'll be there's puppy love. I'll be there's real love. Do you know how you were able to decipher the difference between puppy love and real love? Is when you had real love in your life, you knew that John Doe or Jane Smith, you remember them in third grade when you checked the box, yes or no, will you go out with me? Where were y'all going? I mean, you know, I mean, really, you don't go anywhere but home. But we did that. We checked yes or no. But it was until perhaps your teenage years or your adulthood. May I recommend your adult years? But the thing is that it was until then were you able. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? Boy, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Well, if I knew, how many of you would say this morning, if I knew now, if I knew now what I knew then? I got it right? No, I got it backwards on.
All right.
Lord, help me for a moment in my mind. If I knew then what I know now. See, even if I prayed the prayer, it wouldn't make sense and I wouldn't be able to go back. So he said, Mac, you just deal with it, son. My mercy endures forever. Amen. I'll help you through it, sonny. Thank you, Lord. But the thing is, we pray that prayer, but we can't go back, can we? Bad as we want to, we can taste it. But I'll tell you, friend, if you're always looking behind you, you're never going to run a straight road. You know, we got to say, okay, here's what we're going to do from here. And to know that your God, our God, believers, listen to me this morning. All things are possible through Christ. Take Philippians 4:19, make it a verse of yours. Say it on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that you can go out and do anything you want to do, but he'll give you everything you need to do. And what you need to do is his will. And he knows that. So take that, claim that, live by that. But I think about being rooted for a minute. I can relate to this just for a moment. A lot of you can. The hog farm you may have visited or your grandfolks or your folks may have had. We didn't have a hog farm, but we had hogs. on our farm growing up. And I just remembered how, I want to give you this illustration so you can remember it, okay? The other week I used an illustration about a chicken and the pig, you know, going by the grocery store. And the chicken, all they have to do is produce an egg. And they can keep on living, do their own thing. But the pig, if they're going to have bacon, they got to give their whole life. So to be a Christian, we understand we need to be pig Christians. We got to surrender all. But I think about being rooted in ground. Can I go back to the pig for a minute? The pig takes its snout, and you've seen them before. They just root into the ground with that snout. You know, that, you know, just kind of, you know, rooting and going and just they just dig it in the ground. And that's why a lot of time you have these muddy trenches, because all they did was just root it and snout it, and they're really kind of nasty, aren't they? There's some animals, if we watched them live, we probably wouldn't eat them when they're dead, you know. Truth be known, my grandfather wouldn't eat a chicken. You know, it just ain't going to happen. He said, those are the nastiest things in the world, what they eat and what they do. But the thing is, you see here where these hogs, they root. But do you understand that we can learn a lot from those pigs? That we need to take our snout, and that we need to be rooting in this Word. It's like a smelly sticker. I never got many on my paper, okay? Those good, you know, 100, great, super job. Never got many of those. But it sure was good scratching and smelling my neighbor's sticker. You know? That was good. Hey, man, scratch it, let me smell it real quick, will you? You know? And the thing is, one of the things you remember, I can smell a crayon or Play-Doh, and it takes me back to a little kid. But anyhow, the thing is, we need to just get rooted. And how do we do that? How do we stir up the aroma of this? Listen, we don't have to do anything. This word's alive, okay? But it'll never do you any good unless you root in it. You see? It don't do you any good on your mind. Well, that's not going to protect you from the boogeyman. That's not going to protect you from old Satan. But I'll tell you what's going to protect you, Jesus and His love. And this Word will help you. How did He fight Satan off all those 40 days and nights? Through the Word. Everything Satan threw at him, what did he throw back? The Word. How are you going to be able to defend Satan and make your way through this life successfully? Through the Word. So here's the answer. Take it or leave it. Do with it what you may. But I'm trying to help you this morning, not hurt you. This is it. Root in it. You know, literally, I can see some of you teenagers right now taking your nose and doing things. But I'm telling you right now, work through it. Stir it up. Every page. This is the best love story you ever read. Some of you love those romantic love stories. You've got books this high behind your recliner. I've been in some places. This is the best love book you'll ever read. Every page is rich, and it's wonderful. Get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Now we're on the final point, all right? You've got to go to the bathroom. You hold it just one more minute, will you? We don't have any water. But remember, tonight's only a one-hour service, not two, so you can certainly come back tonight, all right? But look at the last one here. In verse 18, may be able to comprehend in this prayer, watch this, with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. Go here with me for a minute. Ready? You cannot contain our God in a box. If you could, I would not serve Him. There are no boundaries. His parameters are unlimited. And I know there are no containments of God. But I want to share with you just a moment His love. All right? In this prayer, very uniquely, will you please examine and look at this verse one more time with me about middle ways truth? To be able to comprehend. Ready? This is probably the most important, if I had to value in my own opinion as a man of God, this, in my opinion, okay, is the most important phase or part or petition or request of this prayer. Because I believe this is the one that all the other ones hinge upon. To comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Did he not just explain a cube? A cube is when you have the width and the depth and the height. And you see that cube for a minute, okay? We're not putting God there, all right? Please understand. But He is breaching because Paul knew things that these people did not know. God had unlocked the mystery
and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ through the cross, and it through this word, and you see, reading up to these chapters here, you see where that was put down upon the apostles and the prophets of the word. There were mysteries unlocked. Nobody ever had to ask Paul to come to church. You want to know what the difference is between somebody who treats church as kind of a, just an optional thing or mandatory? It's because they haven't seen that side of Jesus Christ that the one who is here all the time has. There's a difference. And I'm not saying that this morning to throw rocks. But I'm simply saying, when you get a part of that mystery, of that love, and you see God at work in your life, or maybe the way He's reached out and healed or touched one of your children, or how He raised your mom or dad or somebody up from a bed, and you know there was no doctor's answer or nothing could be explained other than an almighty God just touched them. And what it does is it changes and impacts your life, and it gives you a better understanding of who He is and what He does, and it makes you, there's a fire in you. There was a fire and a desire in Paul, because what did he see on the road to Damascus? He's seen a glimpse of His glory. And it changed him forevermore. And what has happened is, as believers, we don't never stay around the Word of God. We don't stay in the church. We don't stay around the things that we're able to hear and speak in God's assembly. And I do believe there is no substitute for coming to church. Make no mistake. Hebrews 10:25 will tell you that very clearly. But I do tell you this morning that His assembly is God's way. The way that God gets His glory to the world is through this church. His glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take that glory and you put it in the church, and it runs and it just seeps out of the scenes of human beings, and people are able to see. But it is until you will ever come encounter with God and get closer to Him and have just a little bit more understanding than what you have today, you will continually live your Christianity life recklessly. You'll be in and out. And you won't know. See, I already know that I'm coming to church 3 times a week here to the day I die. But I was doing that before I came a preacher, not just because I'm a preacher. That doesn't mean anything, but my thing is this here. I can't go to church enough in a week anymore. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be that way right now. But when that time comes, you ought to respond to it. You ought to act upon it. And say, okay, you know what, God? It's not really an option. See, right now, some of you already know you're not coming back here tonight. Okay, and I'm just giving you an example, okay? But some of you already know. But if there was a prayer you've been asking for, and God granted that thing on the way home, or you got a phone call, or we were able to hear, ready? Watch this. Or we were able to hear some way, somehow, between now and tonight's service, that the little girl we prayed for this morning is walking on her feet today. Yeah, because it can happen. And if you pray thinking anything less, your faith, where is your faith? Jesus would ask you the same thing. But I'll guarantee you, if it happened, we'd be crazy not to be back in His house tonight, thanking Him and praising Him. And there's no question. But until you get to that point, you'll continue to stay on that same. You'll continue to tread the water and maybe use God's Word and His church is fire insurance. You want just enough to stay out of hell. Or you want just enough that when you do get a flat, you got a spare tire, and you use God only then. That's wrong, and our God should not be used in such a way. But I see here now, I'm going to give you this last example, and I'm going to close. To understand and to comprehend Him is crucial for a believer. And do you understand the more, and I just explained, I believe in a pretty good example, that the more you understand and the more you comprehend, the closer you'll walk with Him. All right? The more you'll surrender your life to Him. And you'll let go of those few things that you've got in that clenched fist. You'll let it go. And when you let it go, God's able to take you completely by the hand and say, now let me show you why I designed it. Let me show you why I took the time to make you. Follow me. I was in the chicken house. I can't remember the age. I'm not one of those people. I admire you that can spit out dates, and boy, you're good. I know Brother James Paget is one. who can just spit them out. I'm like, man, he's just got a computer. I don't have one. But I was in a chicken house somewhere around the age of 8 or 9. When the chicken cooked, I was going to cook me some scrambled eggs. And Mama always had the, still got them, little iron skillet pots. You know, them babies get seasoned. You know, you don't even hardly have to put anything in them. They'll cook that baby up pretty good. I went to the old chicken house. Been in there before. You know, because you get chicken pots and you lay down at the door of the chicken house and then get the chickens to fly over you. Your chicken pots are gone, right? Try it if you want to. You may be decorated on the way back to the house, all right? You asked for it. Thing is, you get there. I went to the chicken coop. And, you know, the chickens were off their roost. And I went in there and grabbed me a few eggs. Didn't even a few. Ready to reach in that chicken coop. I grabbed me about 3 eggs. Now, understand, okay? Understand the cube or the cubicle effect of that chicken house, all right? Trying to run a parallel and a comparison for you. So it's tangible for you. You can touch it. I went to the chicken house and I grabbed me a few eggs. Hurried back to the house. Got out a iron skillet, put it out there. Had me, I don't know, I thought you were supposed to use 2 sticks of margarine. I don't know what I had in there, all right? But I had that baby sizzling now. And Young didn't know. And truth be told, I still can't remember where Mom's at. Because Mom was always right there. I mean, always, you know, cook breakfast and all that, the biscuits and all that. But I guess all good things must come to an end. But we were there, and I went in there, and I was cooking those eggs. And I had 2 of them already cracked and in the pan. And I just kind of, I didn't, you know, I like mine scrambled, all right? I don't like, but anyhow, I popped them up and dropped them. I didn't scramble these just before I knew any better. And I dropped them and popped them in. Well, I took the 3rd egg. Now watch this now. And I took the 3rd egg, and the 2 eggs are already cooking, and I cracked the 3rd egg, and I opened it. And now this is going to sound bad to some of you, but if you've ever eaten country fresh eggs, then you know that you've got to be careful of this one very thing I'm fixing to tell you. You've always got to take that egg and shake it. And listen. And what I did was I cracked that egg, and a little bitty. Okay, that's what we call them. All right, bitty. An unhatched bitty fell out into the pan. All right? Well, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what I didn't do. All right, that might explain it a lot better. I come unglued. Outside the back door, I come unglued. And I didn't know what to expect. I had never seen anything like that before. I didn't know about that kind of stuff. I didn't understand that that was a potential threat. I didn't know any better. So it ruined my breakfast, needless to say. And I'll tell you what else it ruined. It ruined my egg days for a long, long time. The last thing I wanted to eat or see or smell was an egg. It ruined it for me. But let me tell you what happens, all right? When you as believers try to leave, it's wonderful how we live in a round world. It's round, it's a sphere. And everything here in this world is carnal. It's worldly. And this is the place in which Satan is the prince, you know, he's of the earth. He's the ruler here. But God sits in heaven, and his footstool is this earth. Not that God is in some type of cubicle, but he's trying to get us as believers to understand what it is in this cubicle. The width, how broad it is, how tall it is. Because, see, if we just live for God and aim at nothing, we will surely hit it. And unless we have something to target and shoot for, we will always aim at nothing and hit it. And here, Paul is trying to enlighten us and say that we need to get out of this circle that the inner man is and step into that cubicle area for God. Think about a multi-billionaire business. Where'd a lot of you work? In a cubicle. And you work in that cubicle in efforts to make the entire empire, the entire organization, a better place. We cannot take upon the whole work of God and do everything. But we can do what God has called us to do and fill that cubicle for Him. And I believe when the inner man steps out of the circle of life and steps into the cubicle of God, you are now beginning the transition of the new convert as a believer to the disciple of God. I did not understand going into that cubicle or in that chicken house when I got back to the house. I didn't know you were supposed to shake an egg. I learned it the hard way. I still have a tendency of shaking the ones from the grocery store because once bitten, twice shy. But I'll tell you today, you cannot bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to go out and do His work and be carelessly walking about claiming to be one thing but not rooted and grounded and having some type of understanding of what's in here. You will do more damage and run more people off from God than we could ever say. Because all they're looking for is a reason not to. They very rarely are looking for a reason to. We must understand and come to comprehension of His love and what He is about. And not take the little bit that we have that keeps us on the borderline of ignorance and try to go out and do the work of our God. You've got to get rooted. You've got to get grounded and stop using your grandmother's logic or your mama's logic or your logic. The mixture of man-made rules and God does not coincide. They do not go together. And as long as you try to take what you think is right and mix it with a little bit of what He thinks is right, we will spend more time cleaning up the damage than we will being able to help build and create new lives in people. It is essential this morning, believer, that you, no matter where you are in your newly converted stage or been converted for years and still on the mill, we've got to know what it is He wants us to do. You're not going to get the whole thing in one day. Every day of your life to the day you take your last breath or the rapture takes place, you'll always be learning. But He'll give you enough to know for that day. And He'll give you enough. He's going to give me enough to know what to do for Monday. He's going to give me enough to know what I need to do on Tuesday. Why should we plan for 5 years from now? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Because we don't even know if we've got tomorrow. Now, that being said, once we ask for these things, you'll know the love of Christ and you can have the fullness of God in your life. How do we get it? Verse 20 tells us, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what's going to make people cry, I believe, at the end of time? Is God's going to tell us on judgment, and we're being judged for every idle word we said, every work we did or didn't do. You know what's going to blow our minds? Because of verse 20, when He said that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things, and the source was in you all along. It was in you. Not of you, it's of Christ, but it's in you. You have what it takes to overcome the impossible. And I think that's what's going to blow our mortal minds when we stand before an almighty God in His splendor. And He says, I give you everything you needed, and it was in the inner man. But you could not and would not stop looking at the outer man. This morning, we need to do a sound check. Look deep down into our hearts the inner man, that's the soul, and say, am I a human being that has a soul, or am I a soul that has a human being? You are a soul. Your inner man is what, it's where you receive your strength. And the inner man is what will get you into the gates of heaven, not the outer man. God's challenging hearts this morning. This is what I think we need to do. We need to say, oh my God, will you let me just come into the throne room and sit at your feet until you are through with me? Please stand. Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray with me this morning that God will have complete control of this service. Father, I pray right now as we have an altar call that if you've spoken to hearts this morning, then God, I just believe you have. If it's not but just for one person, God, they know who they are right now. God, and I just pray this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation that if you've spoken to their hearts, God, they'll step out from where they are. They'll come down, sit at your feet, and allow the King of Kings to counsel into the inner man. God, help us this morning to see the importance and understand that the inner man is more important than the outer man. And God, may the inner man have control over the outer man. And God, we know that that comes according to the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is in His name I ask. Amen.